Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, here we are with one purpose. I have one bowing down before your throne. All the honor and the glory, we realize we're nothing without you, Lord.
We have cast aside our differences.
We have cast aside our differences.
Worship you in spirit and
International Ministries and WOTW Internet Radio. This is a Apostle Gregory R. Pinson, Sr., in with you on this bright and beautiful Thursday night. Yes, it's a bright and beautiful night. Love Fest Thursday, y'all. You know we can't do it any other way. It's only a Love Fest way. And when we do it the Love Fest, man, that means we're doing it the very best. Amen? Amen. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to worship the Lord. I didn't know my mic was open when I was singing. I hope it didn't sound too bad to you guys, but, you know, I just, man, I'm telling you, I worship the Lord. I worship God in spirit and in truth. I believe that's the only way we can do it. I believe, without a shadow of a doubt, that the only way we can be true believers is through the power of our worship to God. It's the power of worship that opens up doors. It breaks down strongholds. It turns situations around. Oh, good God Almighty from Zion. Say to God, I'm here to tell you tonight, it's all about the worship. It's all about the praise. See, when you're worshiping God, you're actually praising God, and you're giving him all the glory. Oh, come on, somebody. Y'all know I'm talking right. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. But you know one thing? Glory to God. There's a couple things on my mind, my heart. You know, I was very disturbed this afternoon, and it really almost brought me to tears. It really did. It hurt my heart so bad to see a video today. And I don't know where this video was. It was one of my Facebook friends had it posted on their page, and I just happened to stumble across it. And it's these African-American youth. And they're at this red light in the street, pulling this white man out of his vehicle. And they keep yelling at him, you voted for Trump. And they beat him unrelentlessly. They were kicking him in the face, beating him in the face, stealing from him, robbing him. And, you know, you can hear a female in the background saying, yeah, he voted for Trump. Get him. He voted for Trump. Get him. Let me tell you guys something. First of all, if you're stupid enough to put that on Facebook, I pray the police are smart enough to catch you behind. I'm just being so real because this aggravated me to the nth degree. Ignorance at its finest. And I can almost guarantee you none of these black youth even has a voter registration card and didn't go out to vote. But you're going to beat somebody that you don't know and accuse them of voting for an individual that you have no clue of what they voted for. This is really a sad irony. And we're calling ourselves believers. Saints of God, let me tell you something. If you have a son or a daughter between the ages of 13 and 21, I challenge you to sit them down and talk to them and express truth, honesty, and love to them. We cannot have our young adults out here picking fights with individuals just because of their skin color. Well, Doc, that's what the police are doing to us. We can't be like them. We can't do what other folk do. We are believers of Christ Jesus, and we follow the law of Christ. We follow the law of God. And we cannot, hear me and hear me well, we cannot start these fights. We can't. We don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight against spirits of principality, spirits of the wickedness. That's what our fight is with. We don't go out picking fights. We just don't do that. That's wrong. Like I said, saints, that hurt my heart. It really did. And I'm watching this, and I had to call one of my employees over and had to show him, look what's going on. I said, because you all will not believe this. And, you know, it was a sad state of affair. It really was. Yes, Donald Trump won. The people voted. He's in. Get over it. You're believers of Christ Jesus. You operate on a different level. You operate from a different standard. You're on a different playing field than Donald or Hillary. Now our job is to what? Pray for this man. Pray for his staff. And believe God to bring change in his life. You never know what may happen. You may, look, you just don't know. You really don't. But I'm praying tonight, and I'm believing tonight that this hatred, this bitterness, this strife, this envy, this negative way of life ends now. It must, my brother. It must, my sister. If it does not end, then you're going to see young black men, young black women killed relentlessly over and over again. It's senseless to watch this man. And then they got in his car. One of the guys got in his car, and that's when the video stopped. But, man, I'm telling you, this thing brought tears to my eyes. It hurt me that much. It really did. And I was no good for about 5 minutes. And then I got myself together, and I just started praying. My first prayer was to that man. I don't know when this happened. This had to happen between today and, what, day before yesterday? But I had to pray because this was a sad state of affairs. And unfortunately, this is going to be the norm from what it looks like. We got to stop. We got to trust God. If we're a believer of Christ Jesus, we got to trust God for everything. Amen? Amen. Well, we're going to do just that. Yeah, we're going to trust God for sure. And we're going to go into the living room of prayer. Amen. Come on, somebody. We're going to go into that place of refuge, that place that we can cry out, Abba, Father. We're going into that place that we can say, El Shaddai, take care. Take care of my situation. Take care of their situation. We're going to go into that secret place. We're going into that prayer chamber. And we're going to believe God for everything that he's capable of doing. Amen. Can we do that tonight? Most Heavenly Father, as we come before your mighty throne of grace tonight, we say thank you. Thank you for being the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the one who created the heavens yet and the earth. Father God, you're the one who brought man from the dust of the earth and brought him into total life. Father God, I thank you in advance for the victory that you have given each and every one of us, ability to breathe, the ability to go forward in your will. Oh, great I am. I pray for every listener tonight. Those who are listening live and those who are listening by way of archive, Father God, I just applaud you. As you start doing mighty miracles in their lives, as you do turnaround situations for each and every one of them, no matter where they are, Father God, no matter what dilemmas they're going through, I believe without a shadow of a doubt, Father God, that you can turn it around. I know you as a God of more than enough. I know you of a God of restoration. I know you are of a God called love. You're a God of peace. You're a God of second and third and fourth and fifth chances. Father God, tonight as I come before your throne of grace, I say thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for just opening new doors and opportunities. Thank you, Father God, for giving us wisdom beyond measure to trust you in every aspect of our life. Oh, Father God, it's not a time of anger, but it's a time of rejoicing in you. It's a time to rejoice because you're the one that brings the change, not us. You're the one that brings hope in a hopeless situation, not us. Father, so we thank you in advance for what you're about to do. We thank you in advance for the direction that you're pointing every believer into tonight. Give us wisdom beyond measure, Lord. Open up the doors and allow your Shekinah glory to enter into this place. But, Daddy, I can't stop tonight. Father God, I pray for every elected official tonight. I pray for the president, the vice president, their prospective family members. I pray for every senator, every representative, Lord God. I pray for president-elect. I pray for his family, Father. And I ask that you open up their mind, body, and soul to your word. Open up their hearts and their eye gates to you, Father God. change their mindset where it needs to be changed. Redirect the pathway of their heart, Lord God, and allow them to focus upon you. Allow them to have clear and precise understanding that it's all about you. It's all about servitude to you, Father God. And we thank you in advance for it. We adore you tonight. And we glorify and bask in your goodness. But Daddy, I can't stop there. Lord, I pray for the military forces tonight. I pray for the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines, the Coast Guard, Father God. Lord, that you protect these men and women that chose to serve and to protect their country. Lord, those who are here in the United States of America and those who are abroad, I just give you glory for them tonight. And Lord, I ask you, I plead with you that you direct their pathways. You open up an awareness that they must serve you first, even before serving their country. Allow them to know, Father God, that no matter what dilemma they face, there's a word just for them, and it all stems out of the Bible. Father, I glorify you tonight. But Daddy, I can't stop there. I pray for every firefighter, every police officer, every paramedic, every attending physician, and every nurse around the world. Lord, no matter what their calling is, I ask that you direct their footpath. Lord, that you place them on solid ground. Let there be no fear or intimidation. Allow them to do what you have called them to do. Lord, let them go into the field of battle without any hesitation or reservation. Father God, tonight I thank you in advance for the victory in their lives, and I decree and declare freedom for each and every one of them. Lord, have your way with them. For that doctor, for that police officer, for that firefighter, for that paramedic, for that nurse, Lord, hold them, keep them, and protect them. But Daddy, I can't stop there tonight. There's homeless individuals throughout this land. Lord, and as you've allowed a new president to go into office, I ask that you place homelessness on his heart. Lord, place these individuals that have not a place to call their own on his mind. Give him the ability and the fortitude to want to share and help our brothers and sisters who are less fortunate, those who don't have a home to call their own, those who don't have a bed to lay on, those that don't have a refrigerator to pull a cool drink of water out of. Father God, I thank you in advance for the victory. And I thank you that a ram is in the thicket for these men and women, these boys and girls. But Daddy, I can't stop there. I pray right now for every individual incarcerated, those who are in federal penitentiaries, county jails, city jails, lockups all throughout the land. Lord, that you do something supernatural in their lives, that you open up the floodgate for them, Father God, to repent. Give them the opportunity, Father God, to call upon you so that you can answer them and show them great and mighty things, that they don't have to live the same way they did going into that place. But God, you can change and refurbish their minds and hearts and give them a new direction on life, a new pathway to travel on. Tenderize their hearts. And I thank you for it. I glorify you for it. But Daddy, I can't stop there. I pray for every teacher, evangelist, minister, every pastor, apostle, every prophet, every bishop tonight. Lord, that you touch their minds, bodies, and souls. That you give them wisdom beyond measure. That you increase their territory. That you show them great and mighty things. That you show them the desire of who you are in their life. Lord, that you show them the desire of who you are in their life. And allow them not to participate in folly, but to walk that line, that narrow pathway to righteousness. Let them speak the oracles of you without fear, of anything. Father, tonight, I just beseech you, and I thank you in advance for the victory. And God, it's through your Son, Jesus Christ's name, that I pray. And every believer will say, amen, amen. Oh, amen. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. You know, tonight, please forgive me. Tonight, we were supposed to have Pastor E. Moore. I talked to a pastor tonight or this evening, and she was in the emergency room. Apparently, she went to go to the eye doctor. Now, listen to this. Listen to this. And then we're going to pray for this woman of God, this mighty woman of valor. This woman of God goes to the eye doctor. And apparently, after having her exam with the eye doctor, he immediately had her to go straight to the emergency room for whatever reason. I didn't ask her what the reason was. I don't need to know. But what I did was I immediately went into prayer with her on the phone. Tonight, I want us all to pray. God's speed of a quick, fast healing. I don't know what the doctors are seeing. I don't know what the eye doctor saw. But I believe the God that we serve, who is more than enough, will take upon this, his daughter tonight, and bring change in her life. No matter where what it is, God, we know that you're going to meet the need. Amen. So let's pray for Pastor Moore, Yvette Moore, and believe God for a mighty healing in her body. Father God, as we come now before your mighty throne of grace for this, your woman servant, this woman that you have called from a tender age of 14, God, the woman that you have raised yourself, the woman that you have anointed and appointed for a time such as this, Father God, as she lays right now in the emergency room in North Carolina, Lord, I thank you in advance for the victory in her life. I thank you right now, Father God, that whatever report the doctor's trying to place upon her, Lord, that we're going to believe your report. We're going to believe, God, that you're healing her body as we're speaking right now. Lord, that she can start to feel the heat, the hot coals of fire burning through her body right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, oh, great I am, I thank you in advance for the victory in Pastor Moore's life. I thank you, Father God, that no hindrance will come to her, that she'll be stronger than ever, Father God. Even when the hurricane came through North Carolina, Father, and destroyed her entire church, she didn't stop. So she's not a quitter, Father God. So God, I thank you as you even understand that the woman that you've anointed and appointed for this time, Lord God, she's not going to back down. She's not going to back up, but she's going to keep going forward in the things that you have called her to do. Lord God, so now I just ask as her brother in Christ, that you allow her to be healed this night, that you allow her not just this night, Father God, but right now. I pray that the blood of Jesus be upon her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, that she will not walk in the will of sickness nor disease, but she'll walk in the spirit of freedom and good health. Oh, great I am, I thank you right now. I thank you as you touch her right now. Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus, I decree and declare freedom. I decree and declare healing. I decree and declare righteousness in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord God, I thank you right now. You said that healing is the children's bread. Well, tonight, Father God, one of your children is in need of a serious breakthrough. One of your children is in need for your touch. One of your children is in need for your love fest. One of your children is in need for your love, for your voice, for your hope, for your joy, for your peace, your shalom. And God, I speak shalom, shalom over my sister tonight. I speak peace on the outside and peace on the inside of her that comes directly from heaven's gates that's within inside of you. Oh, great I am. Tonight I just glorify you and bask in your goodness. as you touch Pastor Moore tonight. Lord, whatever it is, whatever ailment it is, we decree and declare freedom. We decree and we declare wholeness. Lord, allow her to feel your presence right where she is. Lord, let her become stronger. Matter of fact, Father, wherever she is right now at 9:25, I thank you in advance that you allow her to sit straight up in that emergency room and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this healing. Thank you, Lord, for this deliverance. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done. Not what you're doing, because it's already done. And we'll give you the honor, the glory, and the praise forever and ever. And every believer will say amen. 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 Oh, bless the name of Jesus. So, yes, saints of God, Pastor Moore, Eve Moore was supposed to be teaching tonight. She has taken ill. She, like I said, on the onset, she went to the eye doctor. The eye doctor saw something and immediately sent her to the emergency room. And she's been in the emergency room ever since, and I just recently spoken to her. And how many of you know? How many of you know that the God we serve is more than enough? How many of you know the God we serve is capable, able, and willing to bring change? Oh, bless you, Jesus. I mean, you realize that the blood of the Lamb, how glory of God, is capable of bringing forth change. How many of you know this tonight and are willing to receive it? You better know that you know that you know. So tonight, I'm going to be bringing forth the word of God. Yes, yeah, so get your pens, papers, get your highlighters, get your Bibles, and we're going to walk this word out. I'm telling you, but you know, there's still something we've got to do before we go there. We got to go to the recipe of life, and for all my new listeners, the recipe of life is when we go in the B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, yes, that instruction manual, and we pull out recipes to govern our lives with from Genesis to Revelation. There's a recipe of life in there just for you. You better know that you know that you know. Let's go over to Evangelist Pinson. God bless you, woman of God. Love you so much. Come on and give us something sweet to eat on tonight.
God bless you too, man of God. Tonight I'm going into the book of Psalms, starting at the 71st chapter, beginning at 71st verse, beginning at verse 1. And it's the theme, God's constant help, from childhood to old age. I am reading from the Life Application Study Bible. Oh Lord, I have come to you for protection. Don't let me be disgraced. Save me and rescue me, for you do what is right. Turn your ear to listen to me and set me free. Be my rock of safety where I can always hide. Give the order to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. My God, rescue me from the power of the wicked, from the clutches of cruel oppressors. O Lord, you alone are my hope. I've trusted you, O Lord, from childhood. Yes, you've been with me from birth, from my mother's womb. You have cared for me. No wonder I'm always praising you. Oh, God, don't stay away. My God, please hurry to help me. Being disgrace and destruction on my accusers, humiliate and shame those who want to harm me. But I will keep on hoping for your help. I will praise you more and more. I will tell everyone about your righteousness all day long. I will proclaim your saving power. Though I'm not skilled with words, I will praise your mighty deeds, O sovereign Lord. I will tell everyone that you alone are just. O God, you've taught me from my earliest childhood, and I constantly tell others about the wonderful things you do. Now that I am old and gray, do not abandon me, O God. Let me proclaim your power to this new generation, your mighty miracles to all who come after me. Your righteousness, O God, reaches to the highest heavens. You've done such wonderful things. Who can compare with you, O God? You've allowed me to suffer much hardship, but you will restore me to life again. and lift me up from the depths of the earth. You'll restore me to the even greater honor and comfort me once more. Then I will praise you with music on the harp, because you are faithful to your promises, O my God. I will sing praises to you with lyre, O Holy One of Israel. I will shout for joy and sing your praises, for you have ransomed me. I will tell about your righteous deeds all day long, for everyone who tried to hurt me has been shamed and humiliated. May God add a blessing to the reading of his holy word.
That's good. That's good, Evangelist. That's good. Thank you. God bless you, woman of God. I love you so much. Amen, y'all. That's my mother, Evangelist Vincent. And I'm just here to tell you, that's an awesome recipe of life. Yeah, he rescued me. He changed me. He directed me. And he made my enemies my footstool. Oh, you better know that you know tonight. Listen, this is what I need you guys to do. I want you to inbox somebody. I want you to call somebody. And I want you to tell them, tune into It's Time to Pray. And there's a word right here just for them. Amen. Amen. Because I'm going to get started with the word in just a second. But give me 2 minutes. Or give me 30 seconds. And I'll be right back.
We're only human. We rely on our courage. The kind of courage that shows up when we need it. And when cancer is least expecting it. Courage. Just one reason more of us are surviving cancer than dying from it. Give now to the American Cancer Society.
They call it courage. I call it faith. You better know that you got a God who's more than enough, and he can turn that cancer around. Amen. Amen. Well, all right, Bible believers, it's time to get your word out. It's time to pull out the word, because I'm going to get into this thing. This is going to be probably a part four to this. And I want you to entitle tonight's message, Getting God's Power in Your Life. Oh, come on, somebody. Yeah, this is something that you need, I need, we all need to get God's power in our lives. Let's look at 1 Corinthians. This is going to be our platform tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 20. And the word of God says this, for the kingdom of God is not just for, the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. It is living by God's power. I can stop right there. I can end this whole message right there. It sums it all up. For the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. It's not a lot of yip, yap, and zip, zap, but it's the living by God's power. To live a fulfilled life, you have to live by God's what? His power. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4 and 20, for the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk, but it is living by God's power. Did you know God does not bless self-reliant people? Oh, hold up, Doc, hold up. Self-reliant? You mean because I'm on my own thing, God won't bless it? Nope, he won't. God does not bless self-reliant people. He blesses people who depend upon him and surrender to him. So guess what? I'm going to bust this myth that Oprah Winfrey messed a lot of women up with. Oprah said, excuse me, Oprah said that you're an independent woman. That you all are independent individuals. That's so untrue. We are all interdependent upon God. See, when we don't know God and we don't have relationship with God, we'll come up with all these cliches. And it sounds good. It sounds good. But it's totally erroneous, and it's not the will of God. God never said for a woman to say, or a man, it doesn't matter your gender. This goes for brothers as well as sisters. None of us are independent. None of us. I don't care if you got $1 billion. Bill Gates is not independent. No, he's not. He's interdependent on the will and love and power of God. We've got to understand this. So we know now that he blesses. Now watch this. God blesses people who are dependent upon him and surrenders to him. You need to write that down. That's a golden nugget if I've ever seen one before in all my life. See, you want to have the power of God. You have got to believe and become dependent upon every morsel of him. Doc, don't tell me this. Oh, I'm going to shock y'all tonight. I'm not going to even be long tonight. I don't have to be long now. Because, see, the will of God. Now, watch this. Watch this. Now, let me go back. God wants to use my brother. He wants to use you, my sister, but you must live by his power. Ephesians 3:20 says, through his mighty power at work within us, he is able to accomplish more than we would ever dare to ask or hope for. Wait a minute. Wait, Doc. Ephesians what? 3:20. 3:20. Through not Gregory's power, not apostles' power, not evangelist's power, not bishop's power, not pastor's power, but it says through his power. Now, who is his? Through God's power at work in us or within us, he's able to accomplish infinite things. More than we would ever dare to ask or hope for. God is able to do more than you can ever imagine. So how do you get God's power in your life? Oh, Jesus, I'm about to tell you. You all knew I was going to tell you, right? I'm going to give it to you. And here it is. There are three ways. The first way. And you've got to adopt this into your life. So put one, you've got to get God's power by praying. You got to get God's power by praying. You got to have a prayer life for God's power to operate. If you don't have any power in your life, that tells me one thing. You're not praying. Prayer and power work hand in hand. Breakthroughs come through the power of prayer. Opportunities happen because of somebody praying. So, one, we've got to get prayer in our lives. The second way, you get God's power by taking risks. I'm going to lose you now. By taking risks to obey God. You got to take some risks. God, what kind of risks am I going to take? When you take a risk to do what God tells you to do, even when it's hard and even unpopular, even when it may cost you, even when it doesn't make sense, even when nobody else is doing it, God will pour out his power on your life. Okay, now hold up. Doc, what are you talking about? Taking a step of faith. Taking a walk of faith. Let me show you something. There's a rabbi here, and he and I talk on a regular basis. We really do. I don't believe in a lot of things that he tells me, though. But he and I talk, and the other day he tried to tell me, he said, you know, God never gives us the desires of our heart. And I said, say that one more time. He said, God never gives us the desires of our heart. And the statement that he's about to make, it may make you think, well, he might be right. He said, well, you know, I wanted to have full-time ministry and never have to work. I said, oh, you want to be lazy? He kind of looked at me when I said that. I wanted full-time ministry, but I wanted the ministry to sustain me and my family. Well, Doesn't Genesis say that when he created man, the man was supposed to work? Yes, there are pastors that are full-time ministers, but there's a lot of pastors that still work. And one of the things that we've got to understand, my brothers and sisters, each and every one of you who are listening to my voice tonight, I want you to understand one thing. You are all called to minister. You are all ministers of the gospel. But Doc, I very rarely go to church now. Hold up. I know I'm not no minister. Yes, you are. If you can give God praise, glory, and honor, and it opens the eyesight of somebody else, then guess what you just did? You just ministered. If you can sit up and going through a situation, give God glory and say, God, I thank you even for this trial and tribulation. Guess what you just did? You encouraged somebody else to trust God even the more in their situations. You just ministered. Oh, so you're saying that I don't have to just minister from the pulpit. Oh, no, you don't. But you got to believe God's word. But this man, this rabbi, tried to explain to me that his desire was to have full-time. Now, he's got 10 kids. Now, he tried to explain to me why it's impossible for God to give us the desires of my heart, of our hearts. Everything he came up with, the Bible says something totally different. We've got to stick with what the printed word says. I don't need your interpretation of the word. Give me what the word says, and that's what I'm going to feed upon. I need you all to understand, I can't have you all falling into this trap where people are putting words into your ear gates, and you're absorbing these words, and you're allowing these words to take root, and they're destroying your fiber. Because, see, I need you to get to a point where God in his power are resonating in you and it is strengthening you and you're going to another level. So, like I said, the number two part is you've got God's power by taking risks to obey God. See, and the key word is when you take a risk. Now, God's not going to tell you to take a risk and rob a bank. No. But God may tell you, my brother, take a step of faith. See, now, if this rabbi understood God's word really and understood, like, what this part is saying, then he would say, you know what? My desire is to go into full-time ministry. I'm going to take a step of faith, and I'm going to walk out onto it. It means he's taking a risk for God and to do God's work. It may not be easy. It might be hard. You might miss a couple of meals. You might not be able to buy all the clothes and all the shoes and whatever the case may be. You might not be able to eat filet mignon for a couple of days. But that doesn't mean that God won't sustain you. You might not eat filet mignon, but guess what? You might have some spaghetti. You might not have prime rib, but guess what? You might have a hamburger. And that's still good eating. I don't care what nobody says. Number three, write this down. You get God's power by not giving up. Oh, Doc, don't tell him that. Yes, saints of God, you get God's power by not giving up. Don't give up. In order for God to grow your faith, he's got to test it. Your faith is going to be tested. You're going to go through some trials and tribulations. When you're going through your difficulties and delays, and dead ends and despair and discouragement, God is teaching you to trust him. If you hang on, God will bless you. Let me tell you something. Let me show you something, say to God. When the doctors, you know I use myself as an example. When the doctors told me, oh, you're going to die tonight. Now, this is 8 o'clock at night, but there's only a couple more hours in the night. But the doctor said, you're going to die tonight. There's no way you can live with these blood clots in your lungs. I didn't have that give up spirit and go into a pity party. But what I did was I went into a praise party and I started glorifying God for who he was, what he's doing, and how he's going to do it. I don't know how you're going to do it, but God, I trust you. I don't know how you're going to get me out of this situation, but God, I trust you. When he brought me to this island. I didn't know nobody here. I didn't have no job here. But guess what? I trusted him, and he provided. I didn't give up. I didn't give in. I stayed the course with God, and God provided all my needs. Not some, not part, but he provided for every need that I had. Physically, emotionally, financially, spiritually, God fed me. Because I did not give in. I did not give up. And my brothers and sisters, if you start to realize that I can't have this give up spirit anymore. I'm just going to throw in the towel. This is too hard. I can't do this. We wouldn't have football no more on TV on Sundays. God knows getting hit over and over and over, running that same play, and your legs get tired and they feel like they're on fire. But guess what? You don't give up. You run that play one more time. I don't know what I'm going to do, God, because every time I get a car, I wreck it. I'm scared, God. No, don't give up. Don't give in. God, every job I get fired, I get terminated, I get kicked out, I get kicked in. Father, I'm tired of working. I'm not going to ever work another day in my life. Don't give up, my brother. Do not give up to that spirit. That is only the enemy trying to show you that you cannot do it. You're less than the best. But guess what? You got J-E-S-U-S. And with Jesus on your side, you better know that God has already got things in order. So I've just given you three things that gets you the power of God. The first one, remember this. The first one was you get God's power by prayer. The second was you get God's power by taking risks to obey God. The third, let me go back to number two. Let me explain this to you. See, some of you have, okay, I'm going to obey God. I sure want a husband. I sure want a wife. And you just go after any and everything. Nope, that's not God's will. That's not being obeying. That's not obedience to God. Just to say you have something doesn't mean that the something you have came from God. You got to pray. Seek his face. You got to lay down and just cry out to him. My brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, this thing is so real. It's so serious. And in the times that we're living, in these perilous times that we're living in right now, if you don't catch hold to this, then you're going to fall short. So remember, you've got to get the power of God is by taking risks to obey God, not your will, but God's will. Not the will of Gregory, but the will of Jehovah. Not the will of Lester, but the will of El Shaddai. Not the will of Judy, but the will of Elohim. And the third thing that you've got to do, you get God's power by not giving up. Please write those down. Not giving up, taking risks to obey God, and by praying. That's it. That's it in a nutshell. Don't let anybody fool you. I don't care if they're a pastor, teacher, evangelist, prophet, bishop, apostle, a rabbi, or whatever the case they want to call themselves. Excuse me. If it's not written in the word, then it's erroneous. If you can't show me scripture and verse, it's erroneous to me. I'm going to stay in the will of God. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep taking God's risk, and I'm going to keep praying. Because I know that is the formula that's going to take me to having the power of God in my life. And when the power of God is upon me, I can lay my hands upon the sick, and they'll become well. When the power of God is upon you, my brothers and sisters, you can speak life into a death situation. I did it with myself in the year 2000 when the doctors gave up on me. Doctor said, look, you got blood clots in both of your lungs from top to bottom. There's no way on this good green earth you're going to live past midnight. You're going to be down here and you're going to die down here in this emergency room. I looked at that doctor and said, the devil is a lie. Jesus is my will of life. You can't control me with your words. You can't scare me with your doubt. You can't put fear in me. Why? Because I've got the very best backing me up. When God is backing you up, why are you still backing down? Why is it that you're settling for the less when God said, I'll give you the very best if you have a relationship with me? Oh, because the relationship cost. The relationship cost me time to pray. The relationship cost me time to take a risk. The relationship caused me not to give up. That's hard to do, Doc. That's hard to do. Look at these guys that are out here fighting. I can't fight like that. You better get in that fight. You better get in that fight. Save your family. Oh, man, he got a gun. There's nothing I can do. Call upon your angels. Don't you realize that God gave you a multitude of angels to protect you, to take care of you, and to provide for you? If you start calling out your angels and putting them to work for you, you'll find that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. I'm talking Bible tonight. When you put your angels to work, and let me tell you something, there's no baby angels, there's no women angels. Now, in saints of God, y'all, I had pastors get upset with me when I made this statement. God is a God of order. Oh, but I see these beautiful women angels. The devil is a lie. You see demonic spirits. Well, the store has this little chubby baby angel. There's no such thing as a chubby baby angel. It's not biblical. God made angels to be warriors. God loves women for who they are, the weaker vessel. But God is not going to put a woman in a position of battle. That's just not him. You can't show me anywhere in the Bible that God demanded women to go out killing, lynching, fighting. No, he put the men on the front line. Let me tell y'all something. That's why God is looking for frontline fathers, not backline boys. That's why God is looking for real men in this day and time. See, in the church, in the body of Christ, there's no real men in the body of Christ anymore. You're a half man, half woman. You're twitching one way, and then you're shouting glory the next. Oh, my God, Doc, don't say that. Well, it's true. It's true. It hurts, but it's true. It's tight, but it is right. We need to get this spirit in. Oh, my God, it's running rampant. We've got to get this spirit out of our men in the church. This spirit of homosexuality must cease and desist as of this night. When these brothers are talking with these super soft voices and they're over flamboyant, wrist twitching, it's time to stop that. Be a man. Go out and do what a man is supposed to do. Well, I work. Okay, get that spirit off of you. Amen. We live in a world of ups and downs. And our perception is that there's more downs than ups. Did God intend for life to be so difficult and for his children to be plagued with so many pains? I really can't answer that. As I'm not God. However, I do know that there is there's a ram in the thicket for every believer, for your life, your children's life, and your entire family. That is very fortunate for each and every one of us. Perhaps if we were to develop this mission of loving one another, if we were to develop a time of prayer for one another, if we were to develop a time of having compassion for one another as God desires us to, then maybe when those down times, when those plague times, when those disrupted times come around, we can have such understanding that I've got a brother that's going to pray with me. I've got a sister that's going to pray with me. See, when tragedy comes around, and trust me, it's going to come knocking on your door. Who is it? Tragedy. Who is it? Downtime. They're coming. Trust me. But see, you got to say, let me call Apostle Penson. Let me call Evangelist Penson. Let me call Pastor Moore. Let me call Minister Jerry. Let me call Apostle Simpson. Let me call Sister Kate. Let me call Evangelist Beverly Howard. Let me call these individuals that I know that have my back in the Lord. These people that I know who have a relationship with God. When I'm going through my going through, I should be able to call upon them, and they should be able to help me through that time. But we got to start calling. We've got to start seeking. Knock, and the door will be open. Seek, and you shall find. Ask, and it will be given unto you. See, you got to get to the equation that I'm not alone. I'm not by myself. I've got help because God is providing. Now, watch this. God is providing. He's strengthening. He's encouraging. And there's other believers that are ready to work with you. I'm here to tell you, saints, we've been dealing with this thing the wrong way for all too long. We've got to try it God's way now. And when we try it God's way, we start to understand that the power of God been with us our entire saved life. But we didn't know it because nobody showed us how to achieve it. As I'm discussing the power of God in this lesson, I want you to understand that the power of God and how can it be effective in your life, or should I say effective in all of our lives, the power of God is possible, probable, and capable to be upon you. The first step is becoming saved. The second step is to have a relationship with God like never before. The third step is to accept His Son, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior. Yes, in our lives, we know that there's going to be a manifestation of trouble, problems, and all kind of calamity. But when we take on the will of God and we start taking risks for God and praying to God and seeking God's face, we can start telling these problems, hey, wait a minute, hold, you're not a problem because I got the resolution. Uh-oh, I got the problem solved. Well, Doc, that sounds good, but who's talking about some problem solver when I'm getting fired on my job? You should be. When your boss tells you you're fired, you know what you should say? Hallelujah! Glory to God. When the doctors say you're going to die tonight, instead of, you say, Hallelujah! Watch God work. See, when, glory to God. When you get that call, when you get that call in the middle of the night, and they tell you, oh, your son, your daughter's been in a bad accident, instead of you crying and just putting your hand over your head and saying, oh, no, Jesus, no, instead of doing all that, just say, Hallelujah, Lord, I thank you. Doc, how are you going to say, I thank you for somebody telling you, your child was in an accident? Because I'm going to watch the manifestation of God in their lives. And I'm going to watch other people be marveled at God's outcome. Can I share something with you? Now, you know, I always tell y'all my mother's on the line, so I can't lie. And if she's not going to lie for me. I was a senior in high school, I think. Junior, one of them. And I took this girl out on a date. Beautiful sister. After we went to the movie, I think we went to the movies or whatever, and then we came back to the house, came back to my house, my parents' house. We went downstairs, and we were talking, laughing, watching television. And it was getting real late. It really was. It was getting late. My mother and father had went to bed. So I'm going upstairs and hearing leave out, and I'm like, oh, they gone to bed. But now I didn't say nothing to her. We had these two cars. We had what we call Big Blue, which was a Delta 88. Oh, man, that car was something else. Then we had a brand new car, a brand spanking new, smelled new, looked good. And so I'm saying to myself, I'm going to take this girl home in the new car. So we get in the new car and we're going home. I'm taking her home. Get her to her house and drop her off. And I said, let me go by my boy's house, JD. And I go by Jalair's house and he said, man, I'm just getting off work. I said, hey, let's go up to Spelman. And we go up to, I convince him to go up to Spelman because they were having this party up there. And we go up to Spelman. And when we get up to Spelman, all was well. We had a good time. We were leaving. We're coming home. We're actually less than 5 minutes away from the house. We're right around the corner, actually. And this car tried to play chicken with us. Eventually, I hit a telephone pole at a high rate of speed. And when I hit this telephone pole, it destroyed my parents' brand new car. My partner, JD, my best friend, who's now deceased, he died just after we graduated from high school. JD's head went into the windshield. Now, he didn't die from the car accident. Didn't have nothing to do with it. He drowned, actually. His whole face went into the windshield. We're both cut up, bleeding in our faces. And we end up going to the hospital, but to make a long story short, God got the victory. Because when we went, when my father and I don't know if my mom went with us or not, when we went to the junkyard to get all our personal property out of that car, the first thing that man told us, he said, man, I'm so sorry for y'all's loss. He said, there's no way anybody could have lived in that car. Now, this is a brand new car, hit a telephone pole. The engine is on my foot. The hood is dented downward, coming into the sitting quarter of the automobile. I mean, just everything is a mess. But so this tow truck driver is telling me and my dad, I think my mom was there, I can't remember, but he was giving his condolences, which was very nice. But I looked at him, I said, what are you talking about? He said, whoever was driving, whoever was in that car, they died. There's no way they could have lived. I said, bro, you're looking at the driver right here. He said, what? I said, yeah, you're looking at the driver. First thing he said was, glory to God. I said, you better say that again because I'm telling you, I'm not dead. I'm not on a walker, not a wheelchair. I didn't have crutches, didn't have no cast, none of that. He said, there's no way you could possibly, he said, the engine was all the way into the front, almost to the front seat. I said, I know. I said, I still got the burns on my ankle from it. He said, there's no way that you could be alive. I said, I'm telling you, I said, ask my dad, he's right there. My dad said, yeah, he drove that car. He said, wow. He said, I don't understand how you're alive. And I just thought about that. I said, wow, this guy really, really was sure that nobody could have lived in that automobile. The power of God at work. Saints, I'm here to tell you tonight, you've got to trust God in every part, every aspect of your life. And when you do that, you'll start hearing doctors. You'll start hearing record drivers amazed that you're still alive. You have individuals looking at you and saying, there's something about you that I can't put my finger on, but I don't understand what it is. It's the power of God. It operates. It operates in such a way that you have the ability to say to that young child, sickness and disease, get up off of her. You have the ability to look at that grandmother and say, cancer, come off of her. You have the ability to call sickle cell off of an individual. Because of the power of God, it brings a light into your life. And this is what we've got to get to, my brothers and sisters. We've got to get to an understanding, to know and realize that when the power of God is on me, there's a light on me that no other can take away from me. Watch this. The light. Matthew 5 and 16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Not glorify Gregory, not glorify Connie, not glorify Lucy, not glorify Betty, but glorify God in heaven. Okay, you need another one. Let's look at John 1, 4 and 5. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. When you're in the darkness, you can't comprehend the light because you're not in the will of God. When we were all, good God Almighty from Zion, when we were all a part of the world system, guess what? We were all victims of the darkness. But it wasn't until we got saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost that the light of God started to shine not only on us, but from within us. And that outward light being so bright that other individuals could see it. My God. But you still don't believe this. Let's go to Ephesians 5 and 8. It says, for you were once darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. When you have the power of God upon you, when you have the ability of God upon you, there's an aura that comes all around you. There's a light that shines bright from you. And people start to see this entity within you called the Holy Spirit. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. The light in you comes from Jesus Christ. The glory of the Lord is in you, and we simply allow it to radiate from us by keeping things from blocking that light. When we start to let things cover our light, then we're starting to fall into the world's way of doing things. Uh-oh. So you're getting high today. Oh, your light just went a little bit dimmer. You're lying to, oh, goodness, you just stole that money from that doctor's office. Guess what? Your light is going out. Repent. Repent, my brother. Repent, my sister. Excuse me. Oh, you called your job and told them you're sick today, but you're just going to go shopping. You just lied. Repent. Repent. See, it's these small little foxes that mess us up. The Bible says a little leaven leavens the whole loaf. A little lie destroys the fiber of God inside of you. Are y'all getting this? Are you getting this? The light in you comes from who? Jesus. The glory of the Lord is in you, and we simply allow it to radiate from us by keeping things from blocking that light. You're going to keep all kinds of things from blocking it. What can I do to keep from blocking it? I won't lie no more. I'm not going to let lies be part of my life. I'm not gonna cheat. I'm not gonna steal. I'm not gonna do this, that, and the other. those things that are blocking God, I'm not going to let that happen no more. I'm going to make sure that everything I'm doing is allowing God's personal love to be in me at all times. I told y'all there's going to be a part 2, 3, and 4 to this. Because I'm only down to page number 3, and I think I got about 19 pages. But saints, we've got to let this light radiate in love. We've got to let this light radiate in hope. We can't deny God, Christ, or the Holy Spirit. When people come to us and they speak ill about our neighbors, we just cut that off. We can't have that communication coming into our ear gates. When you got somebody coming to you and they're always talking negative about people, guess what? It's time to cut those folks out of your life. Are y'all catching this tonight? I pray that what I'm saying opens up a new avenue for you. Because when you get this and take hold of it, then you're going to be able to walk with power and authority. And you'll call things down from heaven and you'll change people's lives. There's a minister. There's a prophet. There's an apostle. There's a teacher inside of each and every one of you. And it's just waiting for you to grow and allow God's power to consume you. And when you do this, my brothers and sisters, it's going to open up doors like never before. Well, I never expected to preach from the pulpit. You may not. But that does not stop you from encouraging your coworkers. That does not stop you from encouraging that brother, that sister that's at the grocery store. You have the ability to speak the oracles of God every moment of your life. Are you doing it? Or are you taking part at the beauty shop, ladies? Ladies at the beauty shop, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. When y'all go to the beauty shop and you're talking derogatory or talking crazy, or men, when you're at the barbershop, you know how we do. Are you speaking versus life? Are you allowing negativity to come into you, into your ears, into this portal that God gave you? I think not. We've got to change our communication. Our communication has got to be redirected and focal pointed on God. And when that takes place, the power will be astrobated. It will be so great. It really will. I pray this message has encouraged. I told you I'm going to do a couple of series on this. So every Monday night I'll be teaching. So I'll be going back to this on this Monday night, and then I'll be teaching from this again. But I really pray that this message encourage somebody. I pray that this message open up a door of opportunity for you to grow. Now, if it did, then this is what I need you to do. I need you to challenge somebody else with it. I need you to call your brothers and sisters, and I need you to start loving on them. I need you to call cousins and aunts and uncles and neighbors and whoever, and start saying, you know what, this is what I'm doing now. I want you to be a part of this. I want you to take heed, and I want you to start changing your life as well. Tonight, if you have a prayer request, a praise report, or a comment on tonight's teaching, I want you to press 1 on your telephone. If you're listening by way of your computer, you can call into the broadcast. The telephone number is 657-383-0157. Once again, the telephone number is 657-383-0157. And if you have a need for prayer, tonight we want to meet that need. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, I am. Am I supposed to help in time of need for my brothers and sisters? Yes, I am. I may not have the money, but I sure have a big mouth and I can pray. I can pray that God sends the money. I can pray that God sends situations to rectify. We can do that, and we should do that. Amen? Amen. Once again, the phone number is 657-383-0157. If you listen by way of your computer, you better call in now because I'm not going to hold this much longer. Amen. I lost my train of thought. What I need you guys to do is really to take this word tonight, implement it in your everyday walk, and watch what God does. Watch how God brings forth new beginnings, new opportunities, even new relationships. Watch how God starts to give unto you unrelentlessly because you've taken time to develop a relationship with Him. You're not doing some of the things you did yesterday. You made a change. Amen. All of you all must be good because nobody's pressing one on their phone. There's quite a few of you on here tonight. So if all of you all are good, praise God. Make sure that you continue to lift up Pastor Moore Eve Moore. On the onset of the broadcast, I told you that she was supposed to be teaching tonight, but she went to the eye doctor. The eye doctor sent her straight to the emergency room, and when I talked to her, that's where she was. So keep her lifted up in your prayers. Keep believing God to do great and mighty things in her life, in her ministry, and we're going to believe it with you as well. Amen? Amen. Well, let's get out of here with a praise party, never a pity party, always knowing that Jesus is Lord. My God, I love you all. Make sure that you tune in this Monday night where I will be doing a part two to this message. Yes, I'm telling you, it's going to be a part two to this, maybe a part three and part four and part five. Amen. And that's getting God's power in your life. Amen. I am Apostle Gregory R. Pinson, Sr. You've been tuned in to the very best of great gospel music and the Word of God, straight from heaven's gates to your ear gates, because we are It's Time to Pray. I love you all so very much. We're going to get out of here with a praise party, never a pity party. Can I go out with the same song we came in with? Because you know what? Man, I was singing that thing when we came on, and I did not know my mic was open. And I just hope it sounded okay. I hope I didn't embarrass myself. God bless you. Love you all. Have a great night.
Lord, here we are with one purpose. I have one bowing down before your throne. All the honor and the glory, we realize we're nothing without you, Lord.
We have cast aside our differences.
We have cast aside our differences.
To worship you in spirit and
Another live broadcast of It's Time to Pray, brought to you by Word on the Water International Ministries and WOTW Internet Radio. Make sure that you tune in this Monday night, and I tell you, we're going to do it all over again. Tell a neighbor, tell a friend, tell a loved one to tune in with you. I'm here to tell you, this is a love fest activity that's going on up in here. Once again, this is Apostle Gregory R. Pinson, Senior, loving on each and every one of you. I pray that you have a wonderful night, and let the weekend be a blessing as you're a blessing to somebody else. God bless you till we meet again. God bless.